Let's talk about youth today. A statement here, far too many onlookers view urban youth as thugs in the making, but loving moms see their children as cathedrals at risk. Again, the crisis, we've talked about this before, that youth ages 12 to 24, they suffer more violent crime than any other age group in the United States. That homicide, leading cause of death among African-American youth from ages 15 to 24. And in a study of inner-city 7-year-olds, they've experienced a tremendous amount of violence. They've seen a lot of negative things. And it's a global concern. Well, let's take a look at this challenge. There's a story. Something happened a few years ago when there were a number of riots that took place, racial riots, struggles between police and youth a few years ago. And during one of these riots, a mother spotted her child, her son, in the crowd. Near hysteria, and this was caught on tape, she grabbed and slapped him. She screamed expletives as she pulled him out of the mob. And then later on, she was interviewed. That scene caught national attention. And she was being interviewed. And in the process of being interviewed, she made this statement. She said, "Is he a perfect son?" She said, "No, but he's mine." And that's where I made the observation, not just from this, but just from working with kids for years, that far too many onlookers will view youth as thugs in the making, whereas their moms don't see them that way. Loving moms see their children as cathedrals at risk. What does it mean to be at risk? Many times when we say a young person is an at-risk youth, we're talking about the character of the young person. But that's not really what it means. To be at risk is not pointing to the child. It is pointing to the surroundings. It describes young people whose environment makes them most vulnerable to violence, abuse, and delinquency. Now, one might say that given today's media and music influence, one might say that all children are at risk. But the setting that's most associated with the phrase is the inner city. Those depressed urban sectors within major metropolitan areas. The population consists of the less educated, more impoverished. It's a predominant minority presence in the U.S. It could be mostly African American or Latino or Asian American. And it's characterized by a higher crime rate than other areas in the city. So at-risk environments really exist in every segment of our society, including rural, urban, and even suburban. So what does it mean to grow up urban? For youth growing up urban, a dynamic interplay of developmental forces takes place. I mean, inwardly, they're going through adolescence. They're going through the physiological, psychological changes. Cognitively, emotionally, you have emerging adults that are wrestling with matters of self-identity, capacity, belief, and direction. Now, everyone, all youth take this developmental journey. But those in at-risk environments do so through a particular socio-cultural grid, the inner city. where formative adolescent development strains against such negative forces as poverty, family brokenness, and a culture of violence. You have to navigate life in the context of survival. And it's all about the code of the street. The street culture has evolved a code of the street, which amounts to a set of informal rules governing interpersonal public behavior and particularly violence. So the city is filled with all kinds of people. There are good kids and not so good kids. Kids that are from healthy families and kids that are from broken families. You have parents and grandparents. There are all kinds of people in the city. But what is amazing is that all are impacted. Behaviors are defined by the code of the street. And so the code has an identity-shaping influence on the lives of every person in the urban community. It's very important for a youth leader who's seeking transformation and change in young people to understand the role of the code, the influence the code has on everyone in the city. So the pressure brought on by the code forces youth that are lacking a counterbalancing environment to abandon or at least stifle their quest for identity in favor of the more immediate need for survival. So this has tremendous implications for youth ministry. Number one, as we've all said, on a global scale, youth are in trouble. And a significant number of leaders, because of the expansion of youth on the globe, a significant number of leaders of the next generation are going to come out of and probably have to deal with people in higher risk communities. The code of the street is the greatest threat to positive youth development today. It is for youth growing up urban the squeeze that is shaping their identity and their worldview. As Paul says in Romans, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, or do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll talk about this later. When he says, do not allow the world to squeeze you, it really is saying, stop allowing. Stop allowing something that has been happening in your life since birth, the squeezing or the conforming forces that are shaping you, and instead replace it with start being transformed. We'll talk about this later, but the code of the street is that pressure on young people that is shaping their identity, that is impacting them, that is threatening the identity that God has given them in the divine imprint. Today's youth leaders are strategically positioned to make an impact on this troubled generation. It's interesting when you look at youth ministers and how people see youth ministry. People treat it in different ways. Many times people want to go into adult ministry and they go there through the avenue of working with kids first. There are many who say, yeah, work with them, but the expectations and assumptions are very low. The basic idea is to get them through adolescence. Get them through this troublesome time of life. You can get them through, and they can make it through school and into adulthood without getting damaged too much, then you've done your job. That isn't working.
We need to realize that youth leaders today are strategically positioned to make a difference. We're positioned, we can have an impact on a future generation of leaders.
I would encourage you in your reading to pick up Elijah Anderson's book, Code of the Street, Decency, Violence, and the Moral Life of the Inner City. It will help you get in touch with what the dynamics are, the issues are in working with troubled youth. I've heard many times I've sat in on youth meetings and I've heard adults share the gospel. And I thought of what Isaiah said, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I would sit there and think, you know, these young people would never pick up on Jesus being acquainted with their sorrow. He being a man of sorrow and acquainted with their grief from the way the gospel is being presented to them. We need to bring Jesus to the point of felt need, and we must understand what that felt need is. We'll talk more about that later.